And please open with me in your copy of God's Word to Luke chapter 11. As we continue our series through Luke chapter 11, we come this evening to verses 27 and 28. Hear now the Word of God from Luke chapter 11, verses 27 and 28. As he said these things, a woman in the crowd raised her voice and said to him, "Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts at which you nursed." But he said, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it." Let us go before the Lord in prayer. Our Father, as we come to your word, we hear Christ's pronouncement of blessing on those who hear and keep your word. Cause us to be those who hear your word and those who keep it. Teach us to treasure your word in our hearts that we might be strengthened even as we walk this pilgrim journey, that you should be glorified. In Christ's name, amen. Well, have you ever had that experience of hearing somebody, or perhaps standing on the outside of a conversation that's just so interesting and you know you need to say something? You need to participate. You need to let the people know that you're there, and you're not quite sure when that moment will come, and the moment seems to present itself, and you say something, and immediately you wonder to yourself, why did I say that? Yikes, I could have just said nothing. Well, there's a bit of a similarity we might have to this woman in the crowd as Jesus is teaching, and as he's teaching in the power of the Holy Spirit, as she is watching this unfold, as she is listening to Jesus and recognizes that the power of God is at work, and she wants to respond. How shall she respond? But by pronouncing blessing, which is an interesting and a helpful inclination. And yet we see that she missed a little bit. And we see a twofold outline to our text that follows the two verses, where first we see how this woman was looking with worldly eyes before we hear Christ's corrective to look with godly ears, to listen with godly ears. You see, Jesus has just cast out this mute demon. That's the scene we are still in that began a couple of weeks ago in our evening series, where Jesus has cast out this demon and the people are trying to figure out exactly what it is that's going on here. Is Jesus doing this by the power of Beelzebul, or is there something else at work? And Jesus has explained that he has come in the power of the Spirit, that the finger of God is at work powerfully among them, that this is no deal with the devil that he's made, but he has come in and bound the strong man and is plundering his home. And he leaves no room for fence sitting in the coming of the kingdom of God. As he explains that there is no value in merely looking like you've got your life together, that we need the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit. We need God himself to be at work in our own heart. We need the Lord Jesus Christ to bless his people. And it's in the context of that teaching where Jesus has portrayed himself as that great dividing point. Either a person shall trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved, or she will reject him and scatter. He's been working miracles. He's been teaching the finger of God is at work. The kingdom of God has come. And in the midst of all of this, we hear a surprising character enter the scene. Some commentators have noted that it would be abnormal for a woman to have a position of being able to even speak publicly in the midst of the kind of teaching that is going on here. And yet, God is pleased to use this woman's outburst for the glory of his name. For she raises up her voice. She lifts up her voice to pronounce a blessing. Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts at which you nursed. She's crying out a blessing on Jesus' mother. And she's noticing something that's very real here. Jesus is special. Jesus is the Son of God. He has come and he is bringing in the kingdom of God. He is the long-anticipated Messiah. What a blessing to be the mother who got to raise this Savior. Well, you might ask yourself kind of the logical question. Was Jesus' mother blessed? Jesus doesn't say, "My mother was not blessed." And in fact, in the very beginning of Luke's gospel, in Luke chapter 1, in verses 46 through 48, when Mary herself has this wonderful poem, the Magnificat, she says, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on, all generations will call me blessed." Was Mary blessed? Well, of course Mary was blessed. Of course, what a joy to raise the Son of God. What a joy that you should be the one to see the Lord Jesus Christ growing in knowledge and wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. What a joy to be able to treasure these things up in your heart. And indeed, this term for blessing that this woman uses here in Luke 11 and the term that Mary herself uses in the Magnificat is a term for blessing that has overtones of joy, of happiness, of the exuberance that comes from seeing God's hand at work. Of course, Mary was blessed. And so this woman in the crowd was not wrong to point out that Mary was blessed. She was correct as far as she went, and yet Jesus points out that she didn't go quite far enough. Many commentators have noted that Jesus doesn't actually rebuke the woman for her statement here, but he does graciously correct her. Because this woman is asking the sort of question in her heart that we might have. Is Mary blessed in some way that is simply beyond the sort of blessing that any of us might expect to receive? We have this intuitive sense. We have this experience of family ties as being close, as being a particular source of joy, as being something that is and ought to be strong. And so we would logically think that Mary must have a very special blessing. Family ties matter. That's why it hurts so much when they're damaged. And here is this woman making that same sort of connection that we ourselves would probably make if we were standing there hearing Jesus teach. She is seeing the power and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ at work. She is seeing that this is the Word become flesh, full of grace and truth. This is the one from whom we all receive grace upon grace. And you can almost hear the yearning in her heart. I wish I could be in his family. That's where the blessing is. In fact, the Roman Catholic Church does teach this very connection. If it's good to hear Jesus, how much better would it be to be a relative of Jesus? How much better would it be to be Jesus' mother? This was formally codified for the Roman Catholic Church fairly recently, actually, in 1964. Following the Second Vatican Council, Pope Paul VI wrote this decree, this writing called Lumen Gentium, the light of the Gentiles, light of the nations. And this is where the cult of the Blessed Virgin Mary actually is officially codified in Roman Catholic teaching. And the logic follows how our own earthly institutions typically work. Rome teaches a hierarchy that at the very top of the hierarchy is the Trinity. And at this point, we could agree with them. We'd say that is correct. And then They add to that, that from the Trinity then there is a downward trajectory. And this goes to the Bishop of Rome. And the Bishop of Rome then can have power that trickles down through other bishoprics and down to local priests. And then as individuals come into contact with that, there is a blessing that draws people kind of up the hierarchy. That's not exactly the terminology they would use, but that is the structure of their congregation. And yet, the Roman Catholic Church goes one further because they say every child needs a mother. And who is the mother of the church? Well, who better than to be the mother of the Lord Jesus Christ? And so, if there is this hierarchy from the triune God down to the Pope, then Mary must stand somewhere between. That the mother of the church must then be somewhere above the Pope and somewhere below Jesus. And so she is worthy of veneration. This is an error. But the Roman church would hear the voice of this woman in the crowd raising her voice to pronounce this blessing on the mother of Jesus. And they might say, well said, but there's more we could say. Placed by the grace of God as God's mother, next to her son, and exalted above all angels and men, Mary intervened in the mysteries of Christ and is justly honored by a special cult in the church. That is a quote from Pope Paul VI in Lumen Gentium. That's the view that is officially held. And if Jesus had responded to this woman in the crowd by saying, yes, Mary receives a special, particular blessing of which the rest of you will not see anything like it, we might agree with the Roman Catholic Church. If Jesus had said, woman of this crowd, you have rightly divined the hierarchy of faith, we would be compelled to agree with the teaching of the Roman Church. But Jesus doesn't say that. In fact, if there was a point in Luke's gospel for Jesus to really crystallize the idea that we should venerate anyone other than God, this would be it. But Jesus says something very different. He doesn't rebuke the woman of the crowd for saying that Mary has been blessed by God, because she has been blessed by God. And yet he doesn't turn and say, here is an error, and I will direct you 180 degrees opposite of error to the truth. Recently, in an OPC publication online, an author pointed out very helpfully that simply seeing an error and turning 180 degrees from that error does not guide us toward truth. Rather, what we ought to do when encountering error is hear the voice of our Lord. Turn to what the Scriptures teach. We don't find truth by refuting error. We find truth by hearing the voice of Christ as He speaks to us in His Word. Therein lies truth. And what He says here in verse 28 is that we don't look with outward eyes on the family relations of Jesus and see a hierarchy of blessing. For Christ came not to minister according to the flesh, but according to the power of the Spirit. And with that ministry, there is a vastly different criteria of blessing than simple family relationships. We might remember back to Luke chapter 8, verse 20, when Mary and Jesus' brothers are waiting to see Him, but there's this crowd standing between them. And people come and tell Jesus, your mother and your brothers are standing outside desiring to see you. And what does Jesus say to them? What does Jesus say to these people who are, in essence, telling Him, make space for the really important people? Jesus says to them, my mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it. It's not being related to Jesus according to the flesh that gives standing in the kingdom of God. It's knowing Christ Jesus as He's revealed in His gospel. It's being united by grace alone, through faith alone, to Christ our Savior that gives standing in the kingdom of God. But lest we think to ourselves, oh, well, I'm not particularly in danger of being ensnared by the cult of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and so I don't have to guard against this kind of an error. Let's consider the ways that we ourselves are prone to make that same sort of error by looking on outward appearances. If Rome makes the error of saying that Mary receives some sort of special blessing because she held the Lord Jesus Christ in her arms and nursed him, we may make the same sort of error when we say it's okay to be a regular Christian, but perhaps the elders and deacons, they really have an extra special level of blessing. They are the ones who really get to know about union with Christ. Or we might have the sort of outlook that says, if only I had some kind of a radical faith experience or just a killer conversion story, then I would have a real blessing. But the sun rising slowly and illuminating my heart as a child of the covenant is just not that exciting, and I wish I had a better story. Or perhaps we could be tempted to say, if only I had a chance to go and study the Word of God full time, if I could go to seminary, then I would find true blessing. But let us remember that Jesus Christ, given the opportunity to say that proximity according to the flesh was of great value, greater in fact than any other, let us remember that what he said was in fact quite different. And we see his exhortation to hear with godly ears in verse 28. As he responds to this woman, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it. It's one of those things that Christians think about sometimes, isn't it? How close will I stand next to Jesus in heaven? And it's the sort of thing where we say there's going to be those people who get to stand really close, and then maybe I'll kind of be toward the back. And we think in terms of a hierarchy that way. And yet, what Christ lays out is quite different. He doesn't lay out a hierarchy of faith for believers. The distinction he makes is between those who are separated to the left hand and those who are separated to the right. Between the sheep and the goats, those who come by grace alone, through faith alone, to Christ alone for salvation, and those who seek their own way. And in fact, in the past chapters, Jesus has said quite a bit about blessing and rejoicing. And he's done quite a bit of teaching about the context of blessing and rejoicing. In Luke chapter 10, verse 16, he says, "The one who hears you," speaking to those he'd sent out to proclaim the kingdom, "the one who hears you hears me." In Luke 10, verse 20, "Do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." In Luke 10, 21, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children." Luke 10, 23, "Blessed are the eyes that see what you see." Luke 10, 42, "Mary has chosen the good portion which will not be taken away from her." Luke 11, 13, "If you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" And now in verse 28 of chapter 11, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it." Jesus' point is fairly simple, really. You're not wrong that Mary has been blessed by God. But you're wrong to think that her blessing gives her a greater standing in the family of God than you have. Since by the work of God's Holy Spirit, all who are united with Christ are made heirs together with Christ himself. So that Peter can write in 2 Peter 1:1, the very beginning of this letter, "To those who have obtained a faith of equal standing with ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ." Do we reckon with the fact that when the Holy Spirit works in our heart to bring us to saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are given a faith of equal standing with the apostles? Or Paul, who can write in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 16 and following, "From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." That is the reality for those who hear the word of God and keep it. for those who hear the blessing of salvation in Christ alone and who turn by grace through faith to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessing is pronounced upon you. So that Paul can also write in Romans chapter 4, quoting in fact Psalm 32, just as David speaks of the blessing of the one to whom God counts righteousness apart from works, blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord will not count his sin. This woman in the crowd looked at Jesus, and she saw that he was doing marvelous things. She heard the teaching from the lips of the Savior, and she thought, his family must be blessed. And yet Jesus himself teaches us that the blessing is being counted as righteous in Christ, that he is the blessing of God for all who believe, so that our sins are covered, so that our transgressions are removed from us as far as the east is from the west, so that in place of the wrath of God, we come into God's presence and we see his smiling face, so that we are invited into the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. See, Jesus in verse 28 is making an argument from the lesser to the greater. And it's striking when you consider it. Mary, the mother of God, is blessed. And Jesus says that is the lesser blessing. The greater blessing is knowing Christ Jesus savingly. This great blessing of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ is freely offered to all who hear. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Jesus is the one true prophet, the one who stands in the counsel of God, who has stood in the counsel of God and continues to speak to us by his word and spirit to make known to us the way of salvation. Pay attention to the Lord Jesus Christ. Do not allow yourself to be drawn away by cleverly devised myths that have the appearance of godliness but lack power. Trust what Jesus says, that the blessing is found in knowing Christ, in hearing his word, and in keeping it. You might remember last Lord's Day morning. What was Jesus doing when he disappeared from sight, being taken up in the ascension? He was blessing his people, and he continues to bless his people. What did we hear this morning? But that our God is the God of hope, who gives us joy and peace in Christ Jesus, that he pronounces blessing upon us ceaselessly through Christ Jesus. Who are these people who receive the blessings of God? But those who hear God's word and keep it. So make it your business to listen to the Lord Jesus Christ. Make it your business to hear when he speaks to you, for he speaks by his word. Store these things up in your heart. Treasure them. Reflect upon them. Find joy in knowing Christ ever more closely as you grow to know him as he's revealed in his gospel. Make it your business to know God's word so that you might be firmly rooted in what God has revealed and not be susceptible to the winds that blow about as every person's imagination comes up with something new, that you might be rooted in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in this pursuit, which is never separated from faith in Jesus Christ, never separated from prayer that the Holy Spirit would illumine the Word of God for you, never separated from the love of God, never separated from the communion of the saints, God pronounces blessing upon you. For the Word of God makes known to you the path of life because it makes known to you the Savior, the one who mediates God's Word, has spoken. So the one who meditates on God's word shall be rooted like a tree that is planted by streams of water, yielding fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. The word of God brings forth fruit in keeping with repentance. Simply put, there is not a hierarchy of believers. The great blessing that Christ pronounces is the one which we all share, salvation in Christ alone. And it is true that God gifts us differently for different callings. And he gives those different callings and different vocations great dignity because we are serving the Lord Christ. And yet we all share in one Lord, one faith, one baptism, that we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, and in Him we find our sufficiency, in Him we find our salvation. Listen to the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust in Him, in what He says, and lock away His word in your heart, for in that there is great blessing. Let us pray. Our gracious God and our Father, as we consider your creation, the work of your hands, the sun and the moon and the stars, what is man that you are mindful of him? And yet you pronounce blessing on those who hear and keep your word. You lift us up that we should become children of the Most High. Teach us to be attentive to Christ Jesus as he speaks through his word. Teach us to rely on every word from heaven, that we might know more of our Lord Jesus Christ, that we might walk before you all the days of our lives. For it's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.